in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, but how can this happen? I'm a virgin." And the angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say that she was barren, but she has conceived a son, and she is now in her sixth month, for everything is possible with God." Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about it come true." And then the angel left her.
The birth of Jesus from Luke 2. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He travelled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee, and he took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was now obviously pregnant. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no lodging available for them.
The angels tell the shepherds, from Luke 2. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. And suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Saviour, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished, but Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them.
I've had this rather strange bee in my bonnet over the last few months. It's caused me to do some research and try to get to the bottom of the subject. You may be surprised. You might think, he looks a sane-ish sort of man. Normal sort of age. Reasonably intelligent, possibly. Why on earth would he start thinking about angels? You may justifiably ask that question. I think it might have been because I've read quite a bit recently about slightly increased activity in this sphere in the world generally. Numerous people, mainly Muslims and Jews it would seem, in different parts of the world, actively searching through the Christian faith, have been persuaded ultimately to adopt this new faith by dreams, visions, and even face-to-face meetings with angels. Personally, I've never seen one. I really would like to. So what do we actually know about angels? Well, the Bible tells us that they were created by God before he created the universe. They're different from us humans in as much as they are spiritual beings, usually invisible to us, and they live forever. They're mentioned 273 times in 34 different books of the Bible. I know, I've counted them. We can detect three different types of angels. There are seraphs, or seraphim, that's the plural in Hebrew, only mentioned once in the whole Bible, and they're described as having three pairs of wings. Then there are cherubs, or cherubim. They get many more mentions, and are described as having only two pairs of wings. Two statuettes of these, made of gold, decorated the atonement lid of the Jews' Ark of the Covenant, one at each end. And of course we met two of them in our first reading, placed as sentries at the entrance to the Garden of Eden. All other angels, it would appear, are wingless, and could be taken as normal men when they appear on earth. Only two of these are given names in the Bible. The one, and the only one, who's called an archangel, is Michael. The other is the angel Gabriel. Not an archangel, just a common or garden angel. And he's so active prior to the birth of Jesus. We've read about him tonight. Apart from worshipping God in heaven, these angels seem to be sent by God to the earth whenever he wants to impart a particularly important message, either to a prophet, as in the Old Testament, or to someone who has a big role to play in his rescue plan in the New Testament. Indeed, their very name, angel, in either Hebrew or Greek, actually means messenger. As far as we know, we have no written record of any angelic activity taking place in the 400 years between the completion of the Old Testament and the birth of Jesus, whilst the Jews were waiting for the arrival of the promised Messiah. So I'd like just to make three points. I think that's the best thing to do. Point number one. We need rescuing. As our first reading outlined, man rebelled against God right from the very beginning. And unfortunately, that situation exists exactly the same today. The law given by God to the Jews clearly showed the difference between what was right and what was wrong, and how we should live to honour God. However, we found it too difficult to live like that because we lacked both the willpower and the desire to do it. So God devised an amazing rescue plan. It would seem that right from the very beginning, the angels weren't ever told what this plan would be. But they've always been hugely interested in how God was going to make it possible to bring humankind back into a right relationship with him. And at the start of the New Testament, some of the readings we've had tonight, the period we celebrate at Christmas, more of the plan is revealed as Gabriel makes a series of visits to ordinary people that God had chosen to be part of the plan. So, angels are heavily involved in this proceeding. Not surprising, perhaps, that they appear in so many carols. In fact, most of the ones we're singing tonight. And in fact, even on Songs of Praise this afternoon, they had an angel medley. I thought, if only I'd known, I could have recorded and we could have had it tonight. But you can always see it on catch up. The second point I'd like to make is that this plan was then carefully implemented. First of all, Gabriel visits a priest, Zechariah, married to Elizabeth, to tell him that in their very old age, they will have, shock of horrors, a son, because Elizabeth has been barren hitherto. Their son John, later to be known as John the Baptist, will be the forerunner of Jesus, preparing people to receive Jesus' good news. Then Gabriel appears to Mary, a teenager probably, living in the backwater village of Nazareth that no one's ever heard of. Despite not being married, she is to have a son, the father being God himself. Her son would be called Jesus, which means Saviour, his specific task to save people from their sins. Thirdly, he appears to Joseph, who is engaged to Mary, to reveal to him the same information that he's told Mary, and to tell Joseph to go ahead with the marriage. Well, that was a shock for both of them, but they both carried out their part. Doubtless, the angels in heaven are following this plan's revelation and are beginning to see what God is about to do. They watch Joseph and Mary's 80-mile journey at Caesar Augustus and King Herod's behest to take part in the census to their ancestral home of Bethlehem. And they watch as the couple struggle to find somewhere to stay that night. They also witness the birth of Jesus, born not in a palace, as one might expect for a king, but in some sort of barn or cave, probably with the animals, where his baby bed was a stone animal feeding trough filled with hay. Then finally, one of them, was it Gabriel again? We don't know for sure, appears to some humble, often despised shepherds who were guarding their flocks in the field that night. Their reaction was predictable. They were terrified, just as Mary had been terrified and Zechariah had been terrified before. That seems to be the appropriate response to an angel. Not necessarily because of their appearance. Remember, despite so many artistic impressions, no wings. It might have been that they had a glow about them or something similar. But personally, I think it might be because of their ability to appear and disappear suddenly. An ability they acquired well before J.K. Rowling thought about it in her Harry Potter books. Surely, someone just appearing and disappearing just like that in front of you, right before your very eyes, must be enough to terrify you, be enough to terrify me. This angel was able to give them the latest message from God. The Saviour, yes, the Messiah, yes, the Lord has been born today in Bethlehem, and you will recognise him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger. Not the usual place to find a baby. Then we see how excited the angels get. There it is. The rescue plan was firing up. Just the beginning, mind you. Still another 30 years or so to go before it was fully enacted. But the angels were able to see what God was doing to restore his relationship with humankind. And they were super excited. So, just as the single angel completed his message to the shepherds, hosts more of them appeared simultaneously and spontaneously in the sky, praising God for his intervention in history. Glory to God in the highest and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased, they said, or possibly even sang. As we know, as the angels just as suddenly disappeared back into heaven, the shepherds, now themselves equally excited, rushed down the hillside to Bethlehem to find this baby for themselves. And having done that successfully, they couldn't keep the great news to themselves and spread the story by telling everyone they met. And so it reverberated across the whole region. So what do we make of all that? Well, the Apostle Paul, in his letter to the church at Philippi, that was our last reading, describes Jesus' birth like this. Though he was God, he didn't think equality with God something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. But Paul, and subsequently the angels, saw that the unexpected outcome of this life would be death on a Roman criminal's cross 30 or so years later. There, he died in our place so that the great exchange could be put into place. He took away on himself the punishment for all our sin, and in exchange, we can receive his rightness with God and the possibility of re-establishing a restored relationship with him, with new hope and new life. Thus, both God's justice was satisfied and his great love demonstrated. I'm sure the angels were as amazed and delighted with what they saw unfolding down on earth as we are to hear about it afresh today. Nor is it surprising that they get a mention in almost all the carols we've sung tonight. I hope that you too can capture just a fraction of their excitement as God's masterful rescue plan for our restoration was revealed bit by bit, beginning with that birth of a baby in Bethlehem. After Jesus' death and resurrection, Paul points out to us that Jesus now sits at God's right hand in heaven as king, and that he will return again in glory. Guess who with? The hosts of angels. They're coming back. So let's stand and sing our final angel carol. Hark, the herald angels sing.